Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be talking Mardi Gras and Valentine's Day with Chef Preston Clark. But up first, a few quick reminders. Okay, guys, did y'all know that last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference happened right here in New York City, and Heritage Radio Network was the official media sponsor. Okay, a ton of hosts did interviews, and if you could go to our website, heritageradionetwork.org, you can listen in. I know Jimmy Carbone, who hosts Beer Sessions right here on Heritage Radio Network, interviewed a few people. I interviewed four folks. So check it out. Go to our front page, scroll down, look for the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference, click on it, and there's tons of interviews. In addition, I saw someone send me an email this morning and said that Roger Smith had a lot of audio and video up on their website from the conference if folks wanted to listen to that. I'll be playing this month a few snippets of some of the interviews from people like Adrian Miller and Addie Broyles from Austin, Texas. So look out for that. Also, too, if you don't have anything going on and we're not snowed in this Saturday, February 16th, there's a great event that's happening. TEDx is actually happening in New York City, but it is sold out. You can go to their website and find out about streaming. But in addition to that, there's a great event called Not Just Talk, Food in the South Bronx, that's being hosted by Tanya Fields, a food activist and gardener in the Bronx. And that event is going to go on from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Bronx Institute, The Point CDC. You can Google all of that, find out the information. That event as well is going to be streaming if you can't make it out. So, yeah, folks, check it out. A lot of things happening in the world of food here in New York City and all over the country, really. So keep tuning in to Hot Grease. We're always at the forefront of what's happening in food. We're going to take a quick break. Very exciting show. We're going to talk Mardi Gras with Chef Preston Clark and Valentine's Day and all that good stuff. So keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back in a sec.
You're listening to Pumpkin Pie by the California Honey Drops on the heritageradionetwork.org.
I want you to save all your pumpkin pie. Oh, won't you save all your pumpkin pie?
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I am so delighted to have Chef Preston Clark right here in the studio. Welcome to Hot Grease, Preston.
Hi, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So before we get into talking all things New Orleans, we have to give folks, I know the first time that I read an in-depth story about you was on Cuisine Noir. It's actually a magazine that's based on the West Coast, and they also have, they do print and they do online.
Right.
And there was a great profile about you. Tell the listeners, you just moved here from the West Coast, moved back home east.
Right.
What did you do on the West Coast? Where were you?
I opened up a restaurant for Sammy Hagar and Tyler Florence, and just a little bit above San Francisco, about 10-15 minutes, in a little town called Mill Valley.
Okay.
And it's called El Paseo, and it was a restaurant that was really rich in tradition and been there for a long time and closed for a little while. You know, ownership changed hands, and we reopened, and I was the opening executive chef.
And last year, I think that you were on the short list of rising stars.
The long list.
I'm going to say short. Hey, the long list of rising chefs and rising stars at the James Beard Award that happens every every spring. One of the reasons why you're here is tomorrow the James Beard House is doing this great event called Mardi Gras Decadence.
Mardi Gras Decadence, yes.
So what's that all about? What's tomorrow is Fat Tuesday, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
And it's I think, you know, it's a celebration of you know, the big fast before Lent, I think is where the tradition stems from. And it's just about eating richer, fattier foods that are just delicious.
What are some of your favorite spots when you go to New Orleans?
Well, I've never been to the New Orleans. I haven't had that chance to go. But the restaurants that I always hear about are there's a restaurant called Herb Saint. It's supposed to be fantastic. Obviously, Commander's Palace.
Yeah.
There's a restaurant called, what is this, the name of that place?
Couchon.
Yeah, Couchon. That's right.
Couchon is great.
Yeah, that's supposed to be, I mean, and these are, you know, just dynamite restaurants, dynamite reviews. And, you know, you take a look at their menus and you see that, you know, these guys, the flavors they're doing, the menus they're putting together, they're, you know, they're really doing something special with food.
And we can't forget the famous Dookie Chase.
Right.
Leah Chase. I think around this time, she does this special gumbo that's a green gumbo. I forget the whole origin around the green gumbo and what it signifies at the whole Mardi Gras Fat Tuesday thing. Do you know?
No, not exactly off the top of my head, because it's not the most. I don't do that much with the Creole seasoning as far as the food that I've been doing of late. But any time that I do eat it, it's like just knockout food.
So what are all the chefs preparing? Can you tell us? Give a sneak peek of the menu for the Mardi Gras Decadence.
Well, I can tell you what I'm doing. I'm doing a pork liver mousse. We're doing it with a Peruvian pepper jam, just to kind of throw a little bit of that Peruvian delicious flair in there. That's just kind of something that I'm kind of into. And I'm also doing a blood sausage tart.
Oh, I love that blood sausage tart. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So will this be your first time cooking at the James Beard House?
This will be my first time cooking at the James Beard House.
Oh my gosh. That's a big deal.
Oh yeah, it's a
very big deal. So do you feel it? Do you feel the energy?
I'm totally feeling the energy. I'm super excited to be invited, and I just want to get over there and do my best and show these guys what we're doing and what we're about.
Now, some people may be listening and they're like, what? Who? The James Beard? The James Beard House? Who's James Beard? We got to tell folks about the James Beard House.
Oh, man. The James Beard Foundation is just, it's just one of the most prominent organizations in the food world. And I think that anybody who's an aspiring chef and really wants to be a part of that, and, you know, they have the awards that they do every spring, and it's something that I think young chefs with the ambition really strive for, to be a part of that, to be part of that foundation.
Yeah, I know the first time when I moved here for almost 5 years ago and went to an event at the James Beard House, I really felt honored, because, you know, I think it's really a privilege.
Yeah, it's a great honor. It's a great honor to be, you know, to be included, to be invited. It's, you know, I think, like I said, something that, you know, the chefs, you know, chefs who are really serious about food strive for, to, you know, get that recognition.
So what would you say, when people hear the name Chef Preston Clark, what foods do they think of? Do they think of West Coast Chop House? Do they think of East Coast food? What is your thing?
I'd like to think it's a little bit of both. You know, I'd like to think you're going to get you know, the freshest, most locally sourced ingredients. You get delicious steaks cooked properly, good technique, a little bit of Asian flair sometimes, big, bold flavors, and really delicious.
And you, when you attended, I think you, did you go to Culinary Institute of America?
I did.
Did you see yourself doing straight ahead American stuff, or were you thinking you're going to do French? What did you think when you left?
I definitely, you know, my roots are definitely in the traditional French, how I think a lot of chefs, you know, start out, because that's, you know, that's the way,
right,
where you start, where you get your roots. And then it just kind of stems from there. I worked in a bunch of different restaurants doing the contemporary American. I did a stint at a Scandinavian restaurant for a little while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So I got to introduce some of those flavors and some of those techniques into my repertoire. And then I spent many years with Jean George, with the Jean George Company. So I introduced flavors of Thailand and all over Asia, things like that. So it's a wide variety of flavor profiles, and now it's really meat focused is really what I'm working at.
Yeah, it's nothing like good meat.
Oh, yeah.
Although I was vegetarian for 13 years. Yeah. I'm going to ask you this. You know, are there chefs, and are you one of those chefs that dipped and dabbed and not eating meat for a while?
For a very short while. You know, it was a diet thing. It started out like a diet thing. I was like, man, you know, they're saying red meat's not the best thing. You probably shouldn't be eating too much. And And I, you know, after a couple months, I was like, okay, listen, I can't really do this.
I know you can't be a chef and not can't do meat. Okay, Preston, we're gonna take a short break, and we're gonna come back, and we're gonna talk all things resto and cannibal.
Excellent.
Right here on Hot Grease. Listeners, keep listening. We'll be right back with more Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
This one's called Out in the Crowd by the California Honey Drops on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Okay, folks, listen closely. If you're one of those folks, you're like, oh my gosh, Valentine's Day is in 5 days, and you need a place to go or tips to do something at home, Chef Preston Clark is going to give it to us right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're gonna talk. First, let's start with the restaurant. I want to hear about resto and cannibal. Mm-hmm. The only thing I know about cannibal is it's meat focused.
Right.
And tell me about the menu at resto as well.
Okay, so the menu at resto it's a little bit more, I'd say slightly more formal than in the cannibal, but still in that kind of laid back informal way. We offer a bunch of dishes. The biggest thing that we do there is our large format feasts, is where you can pick an animal. It's either a lamb or a pig or a whole goat, and we'll break it down for you in just about 10 to 12 different preparations. And you come in with about 8 people, 10 people, 12 people, and you just experience the feast of all different parts of the animal. And it's really a nose-to-tail experience. And
So when you say 10 to 12 different preparations, give me an example of some of the...
Okay, so we'll take like the leg, and we'll make sausage.
Oh, cool.
We'll actually make liver mousse from the livers. We will do jambalayas. We'll do... all kinds of sausages, pâtés, terrines. We do like feet and braised parts of the animal. All kinds of different impressions. It's really delicious.
That is a perfect spot to go to with a group of people.
Yeah, it is. I think so. And especially, it's pretty quick too. You can call and just walk in with the tent top, and we can usually accommodate that too. Now, that's not for the big feast. You know, you have to plan that one for about a week, but we can accommodate about, a tent top.
And that's at Cannibal.
That's at Resto.
That's at Resto.
Right. Now, that's at Resto. And Cannibal is, you go in there, it's a really long bar, mm-hmm. and you can sit there, you can order a steak. We have lots of small snacks that you can order. All the things are made in-house. We have our own beef jerky recipe that we've been working on that's really delicious. A lot of the Cannibal is a little bit more charcuterie focused. So this is where you go in there and you'll get the pork liver toast, and you'll get the blood sausage, and you'll get the rabbit sausage, and you'll get the house smoked kielbasa. We do all kinds of fresh sausages. It's really cool concept.
So I'm going to assume that the cider and beer selections there are like...
Yeah, we have about 500 beers, about 500 beer selection. I think it's one of the best in the city.
Oh, wow. Do you have any cider on tap? I'm a cider person.
Right, no cider on tap.
Oh,
no
wow. No cider on tap, just beer. Okay, you got to make that happen, Preston.
Yeah, most definitely will.
Now, okay, so I always think, I'm going to be honest. Don't kill me. I am the person, I dine out a lot, mm-hmm. but I avoid restaurants on Valentine's Day.
Right.
What tips would you give someone that's like, Valentine's Day is their special day to go out?
Right.
Would you say people need to go early or late? What is the prime time to get a reservation?
I'd say make your reservation as early as possible, because you know there's going to be a whole lot of people coming out to celebrate that special day. Or cook it yourself and keep it at home. That would probably be my biggest tip for me personally. I know for Valentine's Day, I like to try to cook for my wife. Sometimes it ends up being the day before or the day after.
I was about to say, how do you get to do that being a chef in the kitchen?
It's usually the day before or the day after. But I like to, you know, just keep it simple, cook something for two that's, you know, delicious and usually, you know, something that I know that she'll love.
Do you think when people go to a restaurant or they dine out, if they go to a place like Resto or Cannibal on Valentine's Day, should they go with a special or should people go with something that's the most popular thing on the menu?
Well, I mean, at the Resto and the Cannibal, we're really happy with our menu. So we don't necessarily do like a special menu. We have a couple, we'll offer a couple of large format things for two that you can have. We'll have a roasted chicken, a poulard morning, we call it, with truffles. We'll have a whole lamb. Shoulder that you can order, and so we try to do this large format dish for two type deal. We don't really do a special menu because we think that our menu is special.
I love it. So I want to switch to cooking at home, cookbooks, where people should start if they want to create a special meal at home. I just wrote a blog post on my blog about cookbooks. Mm-hmm. Are you a cookbook fanatic?
Yeah, I think you have to be. I read a lot.
Yeah. What do you say for the person at home that maybe is a first time cook?
Right.
Well, not first time, but just like, you know, I really don't get in the kitchen a lot.
Right.
What cookbook would you say is the cookbook for them? And what about the person who's like, I dine out all the time, I have a whole bunch of cookbooks, mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm looking for inspiration to cook for this Valentine's Day.
Right. Well, for me, I like to stick with the mantra of just to keep it simple, and so the joy of cooking kind of comes to mind because those recipes are tried and true, and you're pretty much guaranteed to nail it every time as long as you follow the recipe. If you're looking for a little bit more inspiration, I mean, there's so many tons of books you can just piecemeal this, piecemeal that. Marcus Hammond's got a really cool book. I like to look at Marcus's, like I told you, the Scandinavian restaurant. I like to add a little bit.
Yeah, that's the first
flair thing
I thought about when you said Scandinavian restaurant. Was Marcus.
And so really, it's just about just what you want to do. And I like to keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid is what we call it. Kiss.
Yes, exactly. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and talk all this month here on Hot Grease. I've been asking all of my guests about Black History Month, reflections of Black people in the kitchen. So we're going to take a short break and come back with more Chef Preston Clark.
All right.
The executive chef of Resto and Cannibal right here in New York City.
It's gonna be our last one of the set. This song's called Broke Down.
You heard it. This song's called Broke Down by the California Honey Drops on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Let me give a Southern Girls hug to Joji, who's engineering today's show, and also to Roberta's, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the home of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Okay, Preston, so some people are probably looking at the tweets and looking, it's like, who is Preston Clark? Who is this person? They've seen the write-up Eater wrote about you moving to the West Coast. But a lot of people don't know that your roots are deep in terms of who your father is. Yeah. I can't have you on the show without, you know, saying right. that for so many people in New York City, when they think about French food and New York City, they think of your late father, yeah. Patrick, Chef Patrick Clark.
Right.
What are your thoughts about, I know Cuisine Nard did a great thing about walking in the footsteps, not in the footsteps, but paving your own way
right.
in the food food world.
It's, you know, you definitely, for me personally, you know, you definitely have big shoes to fill. And, you know, you just, my father is always going to be in the back of my head every day when I go to work and as I'm, you know, going through my day to day. And you just strive to be the best. And, you know, you take that example that he set and, you know, and that you get your drive from that and you just strive to be the best that you can be.
And beyond your father, who I'm definitely realize is your biggest inspiration, who are some of the food pioneers that are around now and some that have you know gone on, like Edna Lewis, that you look at as
Edna Lewis, Melinda Russell. I mean, if you go bring it real back, real far back, you know, and these are some of the people that you know, really started the pioneering. The chefs and my mentors that I look to now, Marcus Samuelson, again, like I said, I worked for him for a good couple of years. There's a chef named Joe Randall.
Of course, Mr. Joe Randall.
Yeah. Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe.
In Savannah.
You know, I grew up with him. Oh, man. I have so many mentors, just so many chefs that have really been able to, you know, have guided me and given me help along in my career.
What's some of the advice that you would give to a young chef of color that's, you know, finishing culinary school and they're starting their journey in the kitchen, or not even necessarily in the kitchen,
right?
You know, hospitality, marketing, right. Anywhere in the restaurant industry. Right.
I would say to any chef, keep your head down, to listen, to work hard, make sure that you show up to work on time. Read as much as you can, and pick people's brains, because you can never learn everything. So you want to learn, constantly be learning, and constantly just taking in all the things you can get, and just honing your craft, you know, making sure your knives are sharp, making sure you're tasting, making sure you have tasting spoons, making sure your station is set. Just the basic fundamentals of cooking and just being successful.
So when you look at the landscape, and more so the future of people of color and Black people in the culinary world, what do you see? What would you like to see, and what do you currently see in terms of positive?
I think that it's on the move. I think that you're seeing a lot more people of color rising up the ranks. I have a good friend, Greg Gourdet, in Portland, Oregon, who's really doing his thing. I have a great friend. His name is Paul Carmichael. He's the chef at Ma Pesh here in New York City. And it's an interesting time for people of color in the culinary industry. And it's just an interesting time for everybody in the culinary industry as it's changing and morphing into this, you know, this wonderful, you know, there's this wonderful, you know, epicenter of food and,
totally.
And food and drink and hospitality, and it's a really exciting time.
With all of the power and all of the changes and all the excitement going on, where do you see yourself 10, 15, 20 years? Do you see yourself still in the kitchen? Do you see yourself writing a cookbook? Are you this TV star?
There's been a lot of opportunities for me. I'm very lucky. I've been very blessed that there's been some opportunities for me in all different aspects. I hope to be able to do a cookbook. You know, we've been tossing the idea around doing a cookbook with Resto and the Cannibal, and
cool.
We've talked about possibly television. I mean, I'm very much in the kitchen. I'm very much a working chef, and I pride myself on being a working chef. I'd like to be, you know, down in the nitty gritty on the station, and you know, I like to work. So in the next 10, 15 years, would I love to own my own restaurant? Absolutely. I think, you know, I could definitely see that in later in my career. Right now it's just, you know, keeping my head down, really focus on the success of Resto and the Cannibal. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
I love it. Hard work.
Yeah,
the absolutely. Basics, good food, and hard work. And Preston, Chef Preston Clark, thank you so much for coming by.
Absolutely.
Hot
thank you so
I have
much
to get by. Okay. I'm not going to come on Valentine's Day, but I'll be able to taste some of your food tomorrow.
Excellent.
At the James Beard House. I think they still have a few tickets available. So if folks want to go to jamesbeardfoundation.org, something like that, I'm sure that may be the website that can go there.
Right.
Let's shout out Cannibals and Resto's website.
Oh, it's www.restoandthecannibal.com.
There you go.
Yeah, it's 111 East 29th Street. Definitely come see us.
Okay, 29th and what?
It's 29th between Park and Lexington.
There you have it, people. Preston, thanks so much.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Nicole. I appreciate it.
You have to come back.
Yeah, most definitely.
Come back on Hot Grease. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to Hot Grease on the Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me here every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.